again, a prophecy against these people of Esau. Obadiah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Okay, look at verse 15. Obadiah 15. For the day of the Lord. Now look, everything up to verse 14 has been fulfilled. Look at verse 15 now. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return unto thine own head. It's a judgment pronounced upon these people, and that judgment is going to come, and it's going to happen at the day of the Lord. What's the day of the Lord? Let me give you a definition of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is any time in history when God intercedes in the affairs of man personally on the earth. Now, for example, the flood was a day of the Lord. God interceded first personally in the affairs of man on the earth. But in prophecy, what we're talking about basically is the day of the Lord is, in its general usage, 1,007 years long, from the rapture, through the tribulation, through the second coming, through the thousand-year millennial kingdom, to the great white throne judgment. 1,007 years long. That usage of the definition of the day of the Lord in a generalization is 1,007 years long. The day of the Lord also, specifically, God interceding in the affairs of man personally on the earth would be at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That phrase, the day of the Lord, is used in almost every one of the major and minor prophets. It's essential you understand what it's talking about. It's either talking about 1,007 years or it's talking about the day that Jesus Christ comes back. The day of the Lord, either reference is here. It said it's near. The day of the Lord is near, so we're not going to determine the time. It's within the framework of that 1,007 years, and I believe it's at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, even within the framework, we can understand. Go ahead. Get back in verse 16 now. He said, the day of the Lord is upon thee, and it's going to be the time of coming judgment. Look here at verse 16. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain. That's an interesting phrase. His holy mountain is the Temple Mount. Does that mean that he went up on the holy mount, the descendants of Esau, and took a liquor bottle and just guzzled it down? No. What it means is exactly what Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 says. Jerusalem shall become a cup of trembling. Now, what does that mean? Well, Proverbs says when the cup starts to move, it's alcoholic, it's intoxicating. And what Zechariah is talking about, parallel to Proverbs, is when the cup is moving, when it's a cup of trembling, when it's intoxicating. And what he is saying here in Obadiah verse 16 is, you've gone up on my holy temple mount and become intoxicated with power. You know how long that first temple, Solomon's temple, was there? 400 years. You know how long Zerubbabel's temple, thus refurbished by Herod, was there? 600 years. A total of 1,000 years. You know how long that Dome of the Rock's been there? It was put up in 691 A.D. It's been there 1,309 years. 300 years longer than the first and second temple together. Those people have become intoxicated with power, with the most sacred piece of real estate in all of creation. 1994, I was covering the peace treaty agreement signing in the Arava between Jordan and Israel. President Clinton was there, first time he'd ever been in the Middle East. He went to Jerusalem. He stood, and I was in the press conference, a room just like this. He was here and we were there. He stood up and said, I want to go into the old city. I've never been to Jerusalem. I'd like to go into the old city. I'd love to go on the Temple Mount. The mayor of Jerusalem, Ehud Olmert, said, Mr. President, I'll be honored to be your personal guide to take you to the old city and the Temple Mount. When that statement was made, Yasser Arafat went livid. He put armed guards behind the seven gates to the Temple Mount, shut them down, locked them up, and gave an order. If anybody walks on the Temple Mount, kill them immediately. I don't care who it is. And the most powerful man from the most powerful state in all of the world was shut down by one lousy terrorist. He didn't go up there. Because one man has become intoxicated with power. It's a sovereign piece of real estate under the sovereignty of the state of Israel. And it's member of Knesset can't even walk up there without an intifada starting? Intoxicated with power. When does that happen? I think we're almost reading out of the pages of the newspaper, aren't we? No, this is Obadiah, verse 16. Obadiah, judgment upon these people. That's the prophecy. Let me talk about the particulars. I'm stepping away from the Word of God. This is research that is ongoing. Every statement I'm going to make has been documented. I can document it, everything. And in fact, the Palestinians helped me to document it. What happened when they were dispersed in 70 AD? They went into Bosnia. A remnant of them stayed in Israel, which they were calling Palestine, 70 AD. They stayed there. Let's jump from 70 AD to 1917. November 1917, General Allenby, leading the British forces, fighting the Ottoman Empire. They go into the Jezreel Valley. A wicked battle takes place, and General Allenby and the British forces defeat the Turks, the Ottoman Empire. They've been in power for 400 years. This is the beginning of the end of the Ottoman Empire. General Allenby then, by the way, he again became the vicar of the Jezreel Valley, of Megiddo. It's all documented in Israel. He leaves, he goes to Jerusalem to do a mopping up exercise. The mopping up exercise takes place. He then gets upon his white horse. I gave you this little bit of his story. He rides from a bivouac location up, he never had been in the old city yet. He rides up to the Jaffa Gate, dismounting before he goes in. His aide says, "Aren't you going to the surrender? It's just going to be just inside there at the Tower of David." He said, "I am, but I'm not going to ride my horse. One day my Savior will ride in this city on a white horse." He walks in. He goes to the spot that is on the steps there at the Tower of David. He gets the surrender from the Ottoman Empire. He turns around and he looks at a man named Husseini El Husseini. "You're the highest ranking Muslim in the city of Jerusalem. I now declare you, under the authority of the British Empire, I declare you the mayor of the city of Jerusalem." He starts to walk away, and as he walks away, "Oh, who's that little boy there?" "Oh, that's my nephew. His name is Aman El Husseini." "Well, hi, son. How old are you?" "11? Good to see you." It's 1917. Aman El Husseini grows up. He takes a trip to Mecca and Medina. He becomes the Hajj Aman El Husseini, a title given to those who make a pilgrimage to Mecca and Medina in the Islamic faith. He comes back. He grows in power and strength. He becomes the Mufti of the entire Middle East, the highest ranking Muslim cleric in the Middle East. He gets a communication from a man in Berlin, Germany, named Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler says, "Come to Germany and we'll show you how to take care of the final solution for the Jewish people." The Hajj Aman El Husseini, Mufti of the Middle East, goes to Berlin, is trained. They put up a powerful radio station in Monaco. It's 1 million watts of power. The most powerful radio station in the world, which, by the way, today is operated by Trans World Radio, getting at the gospel. It was put up by the Nazis in 1935, and he said, "Go on the air and call for the demise of the Jewish people." You can go to the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, Israel. They will show you the words he said as he went on the air. Everything I'm saying is documented. He went on the air and said, "Muslims of the world, rise up against the Jews. Kill them for the honor of Allah. Kill them." And then Hitler says, "Go get your people there in the Balkans and get into that land of Palestine and wipe out those Jews." 1948, the War of Independence. Hitler had used the elite commando unit from the Bosnian Fighting Force at the apex of his blitzkrieg. Do you know what a blitzkrieg is? Hitler would put his troops in the shape of a V and go into a country just wiping out everybody. And at the apex of that, he put the elite Bosnian fighting force. At the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, there's a picture of the Haja Aman al-Husseini inspecting that elite Bosnian commando unit, which he then took to Israel. And they were the leading fighting force, leading the Arabs against the Jewish people. Well, by the way, the Haja Aman al-Husseini has a nephew. His name is Yasser Arafat, whose real name is Husseini. Yasser and Arafat. Yasser is named after a terrorist that was his hero when he was a boy, and Arafat is the name of the mountain between Mecca and Medina. That's where he got his name. You know what I've just told you? Yasser Arafat, Haja Aman al-Husseini, Husseini al-Husseini, Herod the Great, Haman, Agag, Amalek, Esau. Who are the Palestinians? They're the Edomites, descendants of Esau. Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate. What's going to happen?